on the union. I've been around, well, in fact, 41 years now working in social justice issues. And let me reflect a little bit on social justice. My experience tells me that most people that I've known in social justice don't stay forever. They come, they work for a while, and they leave, do something else. There's breaks. Most organizations that are committed to social justice, most of them don't stay around for a long time. In many cases, social justice organizations don't have a real membership structure. That is, where the people who are affected are members. So it's their organization. Usually it's people from the outside who want to help because they feel badly about what's happening to the homeless and whatever the case may be. But sitting down and saying, we're going to build an organization. Now, these people who are affected, it's their organization. We're going to build it for them so they can stay for the long term. Very little of that. Also, they have a... When I started my work back in the late 40s and early 50s, most organizations were nonprofit. We're not registered as nonprofit. Today, almost every organization has a nonprofit certificate and has tied certain things you can't do because you're nonprofit. Most organizations want to take care of the problem through public policy. You vote, elect politicians, and do their job, which is not as ridiculous. You don't have to hear Jerry Brown tell you that. I can tell you that myself. In the video, you saw one of the government bureaucrats said, "Well, you know, we have to look at the situation, and we have to see, talking about the risks and the benefits." That's what happens. 2 years ago, the Senate is debating a big debate on clean air. We all know what clean air is. We have to debate it. Clean air is clean air. Now, according to the U.S. Senate, in all of their collective wisdom, they said that clean air was any time less than one people dies for every 10,000 people who are, in other words, one death for every 20,000 people affected is clean air. We know that's ridiculous. It's hot air more than ridiculous. But you see, that's why we have a hard problem, very difficult time dealing with the environmental questions, with toxics, with pesticides, because the politicians want to balance it. As the guy told you from EPA, says, well, we've got to be able to assign the risks. No. We got to be able to be prepared to say how much risk do we want to take. They expect us to take some risks because they want to have some benefits. And that is why you can't do anything through public policy. You can't. Politicians won't do it. You haven't got the money to elect them. Less people were voting this election than ever in the history of the United States. People don't believe in voting anymore, and no wonder. You can't go and tell people who are homeless, who are just unemployed, who are suffering pesticides, who are being exploited. You can't go tell them, go vote, it's going to take care of itself. They won't believe you because it's not true. It doesn't happen. I know here we're at the Institute of Politics, so I'll tell you that. Now, I vote. I still vote, and I still... But, you know... It doesn't matter who gets elected president, we're going to be the same problem. We are, you know, Democrat, Republican, some are a little better than others, but it'd be the same problem. It's not going to change. It's going to change only when the American people understand that they got to roll up their problems. You can't elect a politician, then they go and pass a law, and then they go over and assign a budget, and then you sit back, it's going to take care of itself. It doesn't, it's nonsense. Does it happen? We didn't get anything in civil rights until Dr. King and the people who were with him and others fought, and the bill passed because a lot of pressure to pass it. Not because it didn't come because of debate and enlightenment. It passed because a lot of pressure to to have it passed. In fact, Dr. King's greatest triumph was the bus strike. That's public action. When the people say, we're not going to ride this darn bus until you end the discrimination, the segregation. And that corporation was a city corporation, was going broke. And that meant more to them not to go broke than to continue the discrimination. They had to adjust it. I'm saying is that social justice cannot come about if we think it's going to be done through public policy. We have enough years of experience that it doesn't happen. It's going to come about only if people say, okay, we're going to take public action, which means we're going to boycott. We're going to stop. We're going to hurt the other side economically.